Wow, thank you. Thank you. I cannot stop looking at that thing on your jump. Yeah, that is the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. Just during the worship, I was like watching it bobbling up and down. I was thinking, it is distracting me from the Lord. When you were really going for it, it was really going. I love it. It's good to be here. I am Scottish. I don't know if there's anyone else Scottish here. Silence, yeah? Absolute silence. Not one. Oh, are you really from Scotland? Aberdeen! Wowzers! Wow, that man. This is warm for you here, isn't it? You are sweating. I love that. It's like, this is amazing. As I'm traveling around, I'm like doing all these Christmas events, and I was in Dublin in Ireland, and this man came to me, and he was a bit upset because he was like, oh, Mark, you know, my son is in the nativity play, but all the schools now, every single kid has got a part. So everyone's got a part. I goes, well, that seems good, right? Inclusive, everyone's involved. He goes, no. He goes, my son is playing the part as Keith, Jesus' neighbor. Yeah? Keith. He says he's in the stable as Keith, Jesus' neighbor. I've got a couple of issues with that, right? Number one is, I have looked in my Bible. I cannot find Keith anywhere, yeah? And number two, who calls for their neighbor when you're having a baby? I mean, who says, we're having a baby, call the neighbors, yeah? Let's get the neighbors round, have a cup of tea, and we can watch the whole birth happen, yeah? It's a bit weird, isn't it? Don't you think? It's a bit creepy. So I was like, no, that's weird. And the other thing is that, like, you're going to give all the kids a part. You're going to be like, okay, Laura, your part is you're going to be Mary's social worker, yeah? So you're Mary's social worker. Yeah, that's your part. And Tom, you're going to be one of the radiators, yeah? You're going to be one of the radiators in the stable, yeah? It's mainly just a standing part, but you just got to stand there looking warm. So it's like, wow, it's unbelievable. So I don't know if any of you saw this, but basically, it's been in the news in the last few weeks that there's a New Zealand airport, who have done a three-minute cap on hugs. I don't know if you saw this, but basically, they said we want to make a three-minute cap on goodbye hugs at the drop-off point to try and keep the traffic flowing. And so there's a big sign in the airport that says this, maximum hug time, 3 minutes, yeah? For fonder farewells, please use the car park, yeah? That's what it says. And can I just say, 3 minutes? What is that? 3 minutes, that is a lifetime. Oh, who's hugging for 3 minutes? Honestly, if someone hugs me for 3 minutes, I am calling the police, yeah? No, don't you agree? Oh, no, you can't be hugging for 3 minutes. I include my wife in that. If she hugs me for 3 minutes, I'm like, no, you're going to prison for that. Yeah, that is. Don't you think hugs, though, right? Hugs, I mean, some of you are like, no, we like a long hug. We like, no. Hugs are like milk in the fridge, yeah? You know when you've got milk in the fridge, at first it's like, oh, that's lovely. And then you leave it a few days and it's like, blah, 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 yeah? Hugs are like that, yeah? You're like, oh, this is lovely. And then, oh, it turns, yeah? Do you know what I mean? Have you ever had a hug that turns and you're like, you get the weebie-jeebies. Has anyone ever had that? Yeah? And then guys, what guys do to get out of a hug is we do this little pat on the back, yeah? That's like, get off me. Yeah, that is. Stop hugging me! Yeah, but in a nice, polite Christian way. Yeah. Get off, yeah? So I think there are some huggers in the room. So some people that love a really long hug, yeah? If you do, and if you've been offended by anything, let's meet in the foyer and let's have a really long hug, yeah? Let's hug it out, yeah? No, I can't do it. it turns me. I wanted to talk about two things that we need to ditch for Christmas, yeah? And hopefully you're with me on this. Two things that we need to ditch for Christmas. Number one, Brussels sprouts. Are people in agreement with that, yeah? Is there anyone in this room that likes a Brussels sprout? Oh, interesting that you're all sitting near each other, yeah? Yeah, all the Brussels sprout fans. Yeah, all of us that like clean air, we're sitting in other places, yeah? The Brussels sprout fans all together. I think the reason why is that I really love curry and I love spicy food, yeah? Does anybody else have... In Nottingham, where I live, there's a curry house that's got a sign outside that says this: come in and try our curry. You will never get better. And they have not thought that sign through, have they? It's like, oh, you're not going to get better. Oh. We've all had curry like that, though, haven't we? Oh. But I really like spicy food. And I was in Australia, and I was telling them that I like spicy food. And this big Australian, big rugby-playing Australian, he came up to me. He shook me by the hand. He goes, you like spicy food? I said, yeah. He goes, listen. He goes, there's this place in Melbourne, he says, it's called Faux Spicy Soup. Vietnamese spicy soup. He goes, it's very spicy. I'm going to take you there. Let's see how you get on. It's like, okay, challenge accepted, yeah? 2 days later, there I am in this full spicy soup shop. And I had my first gulp of this soup. And it was, you know when you're like, because I had to try and make out like it was cool, yeah, not even bothered, yeah. And I had to, you can feel it burning all the way down, yeah. And then I'm like, the second spoon, I'm like, But of course, I'm playing it really chilled out. I'm like, hey, whatever. I'm thinking, I hope I've got wet wipes. And, sorry about that. And it was like, looking at the guy that had invited me to go, he's across from me. He is sweating, right? He is sweating. I promise you, sweat rolling down his neck, on his hair. He's really sweating. As he's eating this soup, he is sweating. I look at him and I notice that the sweat rolling down his head, down his nose, and dripping into the soup. Yeah, yeah. And I look at him and I'm thinking, he's never going to finish that, is he? He's never going to finish that. He's in a soup loop, isn't he? He's in a soup loop. He's going to keep trying to eat it. It's like keep on refilling it. He's going to die in that soup, isn't he? I'm like, I don't know whether to tell him. He doesn't have to finish it because he's going to die. Just keep on refilling it. It's like, oh. It's like, wow. So yeah, I'm for getting rid of Brussels sprouts. And the other thing that I am definitely ditch for Christmas is people who buy presents for their pets. Yeah, come on. Come on, what do you think? Come on. Is there anyone here that buys their pet a present? Come on, you need to put your hand up. Oh, that lovely lady over there. Oh, I bet you buy your gerbil an air fryer, don't you, yeah? It's a tiny little gerbil. Here's an air fryer, yeah? It's like, why do people buy their presents for pets? It's like, what is that? I was in, like, Nottingham in this park, and there's this couple, and I was watching them two things. Firstly, they got a little dog called Buddy, right? Little dog called Buddy. And they dressed Buddy as a Christmas tree. That is not normal. Okay, that is not normal. Secondly, not only did they dress Buddy as a Christmas tree, but they got Buddy in a pram. And they were pushing Buddy along in a pram. Ah! Now, when I see very unusual people, I like to chat to them, yeah? Yeah? I like to chat. You know when you meet and you think, oh, I'm going to chat to you because you are weird, yeah? Do you do that? Do you do that? I mean, I'm going to chat to all these guys on the front row. They, as soon as this is finished, I'm going to be like, I am chatting to you, brother. It's like, you know what I'm saying, yeah. So I'm like, wow, I need to chat to. So I go over
And they're like, oh, yeah, this is our dog called Buddy. And I'm like, going, yeah, yeah. And they're like, oh, we don't know what to get Buddy for Christmas. And I'm like, well, I know. New owners, yeah? Get them new owners for Christmas because you are freaking that dog out, yeah? That dog is dressed as a Christmas tree and it wants out, yeah? It wants out. This dog's eyes were looking at me going, help me, please help me. Do not let me go. Do not let me go home with these people. It's like so true. So true. I don't know if you saw that thing about Beans the cat. This is absolutely true that Beans the cat, there's a cat that basically the owner lives in Glasgow in Scotland. So we're Aberdeen, I'm from Edinburgh, we're from like the lovely parts of Scotland, yeah? And then you've got Glasgow, right? I don't know if you've ever met anyone from Glasgow, but they come, hey, buddy, buddy! Yeah? That's the ladies, yeah? Wait till you meet the guys. Very aggressive. It's like, okay, calm it right down. So this cat, Beans the cat, guess what happens? Beans the cat goes out for a little wander. They find it like 3 months later in Coventry. Coventry, 350 miles away. The cat has walked 350 miles away and he's landed in, I mean, imagine that. You've left Glasgow, yeah? You wake up and you're in Coventry. I mean, that's like not a good deal. And then basically the cat, and then because it had a chip, the owner was reunited with the cat. And you can see the owner's holding the cat. And there's this great picture. The lady's grinning away. She's got her cat back. And people are putting comments and they're saying, oh, what a lovely story. What a beautiful, happy ending. This is a happy ending for everyone except that cat, yeah? That cat is looking up going, how do I tell this woman I do not want to live with her, yeah? I've walked 350 miles. How do I tell her? The cat's looking at the camera going, help me, please help me. She's a crazy cat lady, yeah? I'm a cat and I find her a bit too much, yeah? So true. So listen, if you're a crazy cat lady, do not talk to me at the end, yeah? That's good. So I've been doing a lot of Christmas stuff. I actually got the chance to switch the lights on at Luton. Yeah. Nothing to do with Christmas. It's just great they've got electricity, isn't it? It's just great that they've got. Are you allowed to do jokes about Luton? That's all right, isn't it? You guys are like, yeah? It's like, yeah. If you're from Luton, yeah, sorry. Feels like, yeah. Come and chat to me at the end. I hug it out. And so, I don't know. This is a story that I heard of, which I think has got a little bit of smile value, but I also think it's a bit poignant. And there's a story about a lady who had left everything to last minute. She's very busy, she's very frantic. Christmas is coming, she's left it to the last minute. She looks at her to-do list and she realizes that she has not sent any of her family or friends a Christmas card. And she's like, oh no, what have I done? So she gets really like into the zone and she drives to the card shop and she just buys all of them a Christmas card and she just scribbles on her name and she sends it off in time for Christmas Eve. Just made the last delivery. She's done that. She feels pretty good about what she's done. And then a couple of days later, she just thinks, do you know what? In all my rush and my hurry, I didn't actually look to see what the words were in the card. So she gets the last one that she'd got in her drawer and she has a look at what she sent all her family and friends. And it turns out that it's not a Christmas card. Actually, what it is, it's a Christmas announcement which reads like this. This is simply a note to say a Christmas gift is on its way. So she has sent all of her family and friends this card saying, a gift is coming. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what you would be doing, whether you'd be like, well, forget it. That's a mistake. I'm not. Or whether you'd be like, oh, I've got to live up to that promise. Yeah. Or like you maybe get yourself down to Poundland. Yeah. And just get a load of tat. Yeah. And give them all like that. But I was so fascinated about this. A gift is on its way. You see, because when you look at the Old Testament, there is just this continual message. You have a gift coming. You have a gift coming. All the prophets in the Old Testament said, listen, there's a gift coming. There's a gift coming your way. And all the people at that time had anticipation of what this gift was going to look like. I don't know if you've ever had a message on your phone or a card from saying, Amazon have dropped off a parcel. And you don't know what it is. And you're like, oh. I say dropped off. What I mean to say is they've chucked it over your fence, yeah, or they've left it in your bin. You know what Amazon do. And basically, it's like, whoa, I don't know what that gift's going to be. I don't know what, and you get a little bit of anticipation about what that gift is. And all the way through the Old Testament, there's this anticipation. What is this gift that God is going to give us? What is this gift that God is going to send us? Now, I wanted to chat to you. I'm quite an old bloke. I've been married for 33 years, yeah? Thank you. Thank you. Three different women. And that's a joke. It's my lovely wife, Tamsin, my first and only wife. Thank you. Oh, sorry about that. I've made myself laugh. Oh, yeah. When I was trying to ask somebody out, go out someone, the internet was not even a thing. So I do not have a clue about what I'm going to chat about. But my kids, they've told me, oh, Dad, it's different now. You know, the old online dating, oh, it's all a bit changed. So I sat my daughter down and said, you got to teach me in this. You got to tell me what this is about. She goes, right, Dad. I mean, she's happily married now, so don't worry about this. But she says, Dad, what is it like? People go on the internet. Lovely, my friend, she went on the internet. She goes, meets this guy. She sees his picture. And she says, well, meet at Costa Coffee. And she goes, right. She's sitting there waiting. And she's looked at the picture a few times. And this is what's promised. I don't know if we can stick up the picture of maybe David. David, is the picture there? Have you got it? Picture of David? Have you got a picture of David? It's coming. I can feel, yeah. So she's sitting in the Costa Coffee thinking, this is what has been promised. Now, I think we can all say that's a very handsome man, can't we? And we're all in agreement that that's a handsome man. And he's all right. Oh, I like that. He's all right. He'll be, not that great. David, handsome man. That's what she's been promised. But who comes through the door? I don't know if you've got that second picture, but there it is. That's what turns up, yeah? And my daughter says, Dad, this happens a lot, yeah? Promise David, but we end up with Mr. Bean. That's who comes through the door. So why? We can get rid of that. We don't want to be looking at that for too long. But you see, I tell you that because, you know, what is promised and what turns up? You see, God had promised that they were going to send Jesus. And that, you know, many of the people thought Jesus was going to be a revolutionary leader who was going to overthrow the Roman government. This was going to be this wonderful military leader who was going to come and overthrow the government at that time. That's what they felt like was promised. But what turned up was this baby Jesus who grew up to be this man called Jesus who prayed for people to be healed and who talked about peace and who put his hands on blind people's eyes and saw them see. And this is not the Jesus that they were expecting. This is not what they felt was what had been promised. But you see, I want you to understand that when Jesus came into the world in that little manger, what this was a fulfilled prophecy. That Jesus was a a promise that had been made long ago, revealed through the prophets and dating back to the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, a Savior would be born. He'd be born to repair the damage that mankind inflicted on himself because of the sin that entered the world through Adam and Eve. He'd be born to be the only way of salvation. Wow. The prophecies foretold that his name would be Emmanuel. God is with us. The Messiah of the world was to come to us, born of a virgin, to save mankind from his sin and separation from God. You see, Jesus is God keeping his promise. Jesus is God keeping his promise. And what is this gift? You see, because even at that time, I told you that the Jews, they did not understand the gift that they'd been given. And the Bible says that they put him on a cross and they nailed him to a cross. And wow, 3 days later, he rose again. Amazing Easter story. And he went to heaven. But yet Jesus is here with us now. The Jews did not understand the gift they'd been given. And I wonder if we understand the gift that we have been given. See, I bought my wife a present a couple of birthdays ago, and I thought I was being really clever. She loves going swimming, and so I got her one of those massive, they're called micro towels. It's a huge towel, but it folds up into this tiny little square. And as my wife was opening it, she did not know what it was. She was confused by it. It's really when you're opening a present and you don't know what it is, it's difficult to adjust your face accordingly, isn't it? Because you're like, what is it? Actually, what actually is it? I don't know what it is. What is it? You see, we need to understand what this gift is that God has given us. How does it impact our lives today? How does this gift make any difference to the troubles you've got, to the financial challenges, to the family relationship issues, to the work struggles? What have you given us, God? What even is this gift you have given us? You see, God has given an incredible gift. I told you before that, you know, if I had sent that card out, there's a gift coming, and then I would have got myself down to Poundland and just bought some cheap stuff. What is God? But God has given us the most expensive gift of all, his only son. The cost to God was incredible. God sent his son. Jesus died on the cross. God has given us an expensive gift. And what does it do for us? You see, I want to describe it like this. I want to paint you a tiny little picture. You see, we have all been made to have a relationship with God. Every single one of us, wherever you are sitting today, whether this is your first time here or whether you always come here, you were made and designed to have a relationship with God. But on our journey towards God, we hit a massive problem. And the massive issue that we hit is this thing that the Bible calls sin. And sin is a massive problem because every one of us, those of us on the microphone, those of us in the band, those of us on the PA, those of us sitting whatever row we're sitting, all of us have messed up. All of us have done wrong. We've all sinned and come short of God's glory. And this is what the Bible means when it says, for God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And this is what it means, that we hit this issue called sin and we cannot get to God. Let me paint it like this. In West Virginia and USA, there was a road that suddenly a huge sinkhole came into this road. This massive, huge, horrendous hole that cars actually drove and actually went into this hole. And I was so fascinated in what they did, because what they did is in West Virginia, they actually built a bridge over that hole so that people could actually get over it and get on. And when we talk about you have an eternal life, when we talk about the gift called Jesus, what is this gift? We've all messed up. All of us are destined to end up in that sinkhole. What is that sinkhole? That is the mess, the stuff that we've done, and we've messed up, and we're going to go into this pit, into this hole. But the Bible didn't just say that God just saw us all go down that pit of destruction, in that horrendous pit. No, the Bible says that God sent Jesus, that Jesus laid down his life like a bridge. Jesus died on the cross, and as he died on the cross, he was a bridge so that every single one of us, we can overcome the sin, the mess, the bad stuff, the rubbish of our life. We can overcome it through Jesus on the cross, through the bridge of Jesus Christ, and we can actually run into the arms of God. What an amazing gift this is. Why do we sing with such passion? Why do we sing with such fervency? Because we've understood that God has laid his son Jesus down as a way that we can now be found in the arms of God. And when it says we shall have eternal life, you see, I'm going to say, this is hard for me to say. I had a little tear earlier today about this moment. Because you see, the Bible says that all of us are going to end up in that sinkhole, which is forever without God. Forever from what is good and what is light. Forever. Unless we come through Jesus, the bridge, where we can spend eternity forever with God. And so I had a little tear because I don't want anyone in this room to just reject the gift of the bridge and just say, do you know what, Mark? I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go my own way. It's fine. Don't worry about me. And my little tear is because I've come here because I don't want anyone to ever do that, because the Bible's made it clear that we don't want to end up in the sinkhole forever without God, but that we need to come through the bridge called Jesus and into God's arms. And not only is this wonderful gift for our eternal life, it's also for now, because we can enjoy the gift. You see, a little while ago, me and my friends were up a mountain and the weather really changed horrendous. And we couldn't get down the mountain because the storm was so bad. And we ended up, we found a rock that we were able to get and shelter from the storm. And I was praying today, and I feel that in this room, there's some of us, and we are facing some pretty bad storms. I feel so convinced in my heart that somebody in the room is not sleeping at night. I feel also concerned that there's people, and anxiety is battering at our door. Some of us, the storm is so vile and horrible. And even though it's Christmas, we're still feeling like life is just full of anxiety and trouble. But, you know, just like my friend and me, we were able to kind of feel safe in that rock. You can come through the bridge called Jesus and be found safe in the arms of God. That whatever's going on in the storm outside, you can know his safety. So I wonder if we could just have a moment where we're just in the presence of God. Why don't you pray this prayer in your heart right now? This is the prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. I'm sorry for my mess. for my sin. I come through the bridge called Jesus, and I run into your arms, and I receive your forgiveness in Jesus' name.